everybody that you run into. How in the world do you think anybody's supposed to respect you? It's a brand new day. Respect yourself. Well, this is Mental Health Radio. Take it from us, and I'm host Sheldon Brown with technician Declan Karen, and I've got a little reminder in case your mind is playing tricks on you today. It says here, you matter. You're important. You're loved. And your presence on this earth makes a difference, whether you see it or not. You're going to be okay. So I thought that was a neat little message to start our show today, which is brought to you and funded by Ember Wellbeing Trust. And we like to promote mental healthiness. And I guess today's show, where we have promoted the medicine of music, well, that certainly can be incorporated in the whole focus of mental healthiness. But we're going to just postpone talking about the medicine of music because I realised while watching the news on TV3 yesterday that the National Party had announced its strategies for mental health, and I thought that it was worthwhile highlighting some of those strategies and getting our regular broadcaster James King to make comment about these strategies for mental health. Most controversial is its approach to suicide, where it has announced a zero suicide strategy, a target which was rejected some time ago by the current government, and that in itself was controversial. So we've got James King on the line to outline some key aspects of National's mental health policies and highlight what he thinks is significant and if he believes there is anything which stands out perhaps as groundbreaking. Welcome, James, to Take It From Us.
Tēnā koe, Sheldon and Declan. Hope you're both well.
Yeah, no, thanks for asking, and you too.
Yes, excellent, thanks.
Yeah, now I haven't given you much warning about this. I think I rang you probably about an hour and a half ago, but could you outline what some of the key strategies are that National are pushing?
Yes, I think the first thing is they're looking at pledging about $179 million into mental health over... It doesn't specify the time period, but it would be over a period of time. So $179 million is a relatively big investment. Having said that, compare that against Labor's wellbeing budget last year of $1.9 billion, with a B, over 5 years. It sort of sounds a little bit cheap. The zero suicide rate, as you mentioned in your introduction there, they're pledging $40 million to that. Now, Winston Peters says it's ridiculous to be going for a zero suicide strategy because it's impossible. So that's his response to National's policy on that. Incidentally, in the year to 2020, there were 654 suicides in New Zealand. So, you know, it's a significant number. And it's got to be said, I guess, that, you know, to pledge $40 million to a zero suicide strategy is aspirational. And I think if there's one thing that I've learned is that you've got to be aspirational and brave and committed if you want to achieve anything good.
Well, in talking about funding, it does say that this $179 million will be additional spending, although it doesn't make it absolutely clear that they're still committed to that wellbeing budget of $1.9
billion. Well, yeah, that's right. And the Prime Minister has come out and said that what we've got to do first is build capacity. And there doesn't seem to be much in the way of policy from National on building capacity within the mental health system. But one thing I do think is interesting is that they seem to want to have a sort of one-size-fits-all community mental health strategy. So you go to one community mental health organisation, they do certain things. But it's also, you go to another agency and they'll be doing the same, whereas at the moment it seems a little bit disjointed.
One of the things that quite surprised me about the suicide statistics when the leader was commenting in this press release, she was quite vague about the totals, particularly last year, where she said, I can't remember the numbers at the moment. I think it's about 700 last year.
Right.
Well, of course, it was 685, I think, so she's fairly close. But it seemed quite casual in her comments about what is a very serious issue in New Zealand.
Yes, that's right, and it's getting more serious too. So, I mean, I think National is to be congratulated for saying, OK, we're going to tackle suicide with $40 million and we're going to see if we can reduce it to zero. As I say, it's, Winston Peters says it's impossible, but then again, do you set yourself an impossible task or not? That's the big question, I guess.
Well, what's your own thought about the target of zero suicide?
I think it's good. I think it's impossible, but I think it's good to have an aspirational figure in there. And we all want to see zero suicides each year, so go for it, I say. But don't punish the government if it doesn't reach its goal of zero suicides. But it's I guess, to use an AA term, it's progress, not perfection.
I rather,
in the right direction.
Yeah, I rather think that governments are loath to put a target on, because they will be caned if the figures continue to rise. In saying that, there was a small reduction in the latest figures, wasn't there, down to 654? So
654, yes.
In comparison with the year before of 685, which is it's promising, and I think people will certainly be watching to see whether that trend of lower suicides continues in the next few years.
Yes. The other thing is that they're looking at installing a mental health minister, a dedicated mental health minister, in the same way as you might have a Minister of Māori Affairs or a Ministry of Women's Affairs. They want a Minister of Health Affairs at a cost of $2 million. The Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, says it's totally unnecessary because you need an integrated mental health system to run inside the greater health system. So that's her position on that. And you've got to wonder if it's $2 million wasted on yet another layer of bureaucracy.
Well, on one hand, National seems to be saying that physical and mental health need to be integrated and treated equally, but then they are wanting to appoint what they regard as New Zealand's first Minister for Mental Health.
That's right. And, you know, the interesting thing for me is, with all the talk, $63 million on methamphetamine addiction treatment, $3 million on New Zealand youth, zero suicides worth $40 million. There's no mention of extending the green prescription or introducing the social prescription. And I think those are two fundamentals of any mental health strategy going forward.
So what you're saying there is that it's very important to sort of strengthen community links and community networks and encourage community for people with lived experience of mental health.
Well, that's right, especially when the National Party mental health spokesman says that it's just that mental health is just as important as physical health, then we've got to exercise people in their brains and their social connections and their, you know, in terms of arts and exercise and those sorts of things. And a green prescription should be extended, should be rolled out further. And there's no mention in National's policy about that.
I think Labor has also made an announcement today about mental health, youth mental health. Are you up with that?
I haven't been able to find anything per se. There is some policy out of Australia pledging $200 million for youth. That came out today. So I'm not sure if that's if there's a New Zealand equivalent or not. I haven't been able to research that.
The big question I have, just jumping in here, is, and if anyone listening, it's Declan popping in, I'm just wondering that when you put this money in to a system, it's enabling people to be able to access the system that the money's being put into. And I just wanted to pop something in there that my psychiatrist, who's a friend of mine, he moved out of Waitemata District Health Board and he's now basically practice from home. And I said, why did you come away from there? He said it was just too stressful, too much work. He said you couldn't handle the workload, and he said it was just getting too stressful. So what I'm wondering is, they're putting this money in, but what are they putting the money into? Because the hardest thing I see, or the two things I see as being issues, is one, getting people into the system, a system that's going to actually cater for them, and also you've got to have the staff, the psychiatrists and that are there and dedicated, that can handle what's coming at them with the resources they need.
So, absolutely. Mental health has been in crisis for some time. And this is why, you know, Jacinda Ardern is saying we need to build capacity. We need to have the soldiers, if you like, on the ground in bigger numbers than what we have at the moment. We're crying out for psychologists and counsellors, particularly male psychologists and counsellors, because there's a real dearth of those practitioners being available in the country at the moment. So it's okay to, as you say, it's okay to pledge all this money, but where does it go? How is it targeted? And what is it going to produce if we don't have, you know, X number of psychologists or X number of counsellors to go to?
I guess, James, the COVID-19 pandemic has put increased pressure on the sorts of services that you're talking about, therapists, psychologists, psychiatrists. And I think there's recognition in this policy from National that, in fact, they are offering, I think, 100,000 free counselling, COVID-19 counselling sessions.
And that's right. $11 million is what they think that'll be. It'll be worth. The Prime Minister says that they've rolled out 33,000 free counselling sessions, and that will be built on. But yes, 100,000 free COVID-19 counselling sessions is certainly top line policy for National.
What's your view that, you know, in 2019 you've mentioned the well-being budget of $1.9 billion allocated to mental health? National's view seems to be that Labor has failed to get the money out the door to help New Zealanders in need. It says we will seek to maintain these initiatives but ensure the money gets to those who need it. I think they say that only 7% of that figure of $1.9 billion has to date been spent. I would think that COVID-19 has sort of stalled much of that mental health plan and well-being plan, and perhaps that's one of the reasons why there hasn't been a more significant spend.
Yes, well, 7% of $1.9 billion is near enough $190 million.
You're very quiet there, James.
No, he's good. I can hear him. Turn your things up.
Okay. Sorry, yeah, we are just...
So, I mean, 7% of $1.9 billion is just under $190 million. So, I mean, it's a significant spend, but we are in a COVID-19 environment where the economy's slowing. We're technically in a recession. So the government has to be a little bit careful. And, of course, they said that they were going to roll out this wellbeing budget over 5 years to the tune of $1.9 billion. So... whilst the criticism is there that they haven't spent as much money as they perhaps might have or should have, they haven't ruled out further spending, further investment in mental health going forward.
Right. Do you think the system as it is, James, do you think it's sustainable to put money into the existing system? Because I've always had in the back of my mind the idea of, could they actually look overseas at models in places, I don't know, I'm just sort of thinking maybe places like Norway or Sweden or somewhere like that, has something that's functioning. Maybe this is something in a system where, do you keep putting money into the same system trying to keep it afloat, or do you decide that it's time to build a new Waka, for want of a better word? And actually, I was wondering, like, looking at a system that's working overseas and that's got low suicide numbers, would it not be easy for the government to say, okay, let's bring that model back and introduce that? And I think also I wonder whether there is a conformity of plan and execution of how those funds are distributed and how the district health boards operate around the country, whether or not some are better off than others at offering top service.
Boy, Declan, you've really thrown him a huge...
yeah, well, I mean, it's something that I look at and I think, if you're going to put something, you know, if you've got a Waka, for example, that needs repair, do you put the money into the repair, or do you just scrub it and start again with something that's fresh and new?
Yeah, I think that's a very much wider issue, Declan. I think we need to talk about this particular program that has been announced yesterday by National.
But it still comes into that, where you're going to use that money, how it's going to best be used.
Well, I think National is outlining where that money will be spent in terms of mental well-being, suicide prevention workshops, particularly in rural communities. It's requiring primary, intermediate and secondary schools to deliver skills-based mental health and resilience training. Are there any other features, James, that you wanted to highlight?
I think the methamphetamine addiction treatment worth $63 million. I think that's worth mentioning. I don't know that I would necessarily put all of that money into methamphetamine addiction treatment. I think that should be spread to include alcohol and other drugs. But no, I think the policy spend is interesting, and it seems on the face of it, at least, to address some of the urgent issues that are out there in the rural communities around things like suicide and mental health.
Yeah, well, that's a very important focus, I think, in mental health. And there's been, particularly in Taranaki, some very good work done to address that and to reduce the suicides in the rural area. Well, any other comment at all, James, before we head into our focus of medicine, the medicine of music?
Well, the only thing I'd say is I hope that mental health as a standout issue is going to be debated over this election period, because it is important, and both major parties have major policy positions going forward. So I hope it becomes a bit more of a talking point.
Well, I think that's critical in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah, I think too, especially after we've had what we've had going on the last 6 months with people out of work and things like that too, adding stress.
Well, that's going to put, I think, a whole lot more pressure on therapeutic services and mental health services. Okay, well, thank you again, James. We're going to talk today about the medicine of music. I don't know whether you want to comment at all about that.
I always find Neil Diamond is very good for mental health, music.
Right.
Yes. That's okay. My final word for the day.
I'll see if I can scratch something up for you. How's that?
Cool. Sounds great.
All right.
Okay then, James. Thanks.
We'll catch you later.
Thanks very much. Well, let's go to a first music break on Mental Health Radio. Take It From Us, where we promote mental healthiness. You're ready to go.
I am. I've got one here from Sam RB that you've given me called Stand Tall. What do you want to? I've heard Sam RB before, but do you want to give a little bit of background history?
Well, she worked for the Like Minds, Like Mine campaign, and in fact, I think on my first or second day working for what was then Framework, I went to one of the Like Minds hooies, and Sam RB was playing some of her music there. Quite very impressive. But what she's actually doing at the moment, I haven't caught up with that. But let's play. Stand Tall.
And of course you're listening to Take From Us Mental Health Radio, broadcasting live every Tuesday 12:30 to 1:30 right here on 104.6 Planet FM.
Through sweat, blood and tears, you followed your dreams to where you now stand, on top of the world. You make us so proud. Your journey so far, taking you to the you well. When times get tough, as they're sure to do, remember where you come from. Listen, you'll hear us caring for you. But you
Stand Tall from Sam RB. Good little song there.
Lovely little song. I think, in fact, that was the one that was selected for the Commonwealth Games some years ago.
Ah.
Yeah, so our focus on Take It From Us, Mental Health Radio today is the medicine of music. I guess to put it another way is how listening to music can have psychological benefits and obviously also physical benefits. Music can have a profound influence on mood, potentially enhancing the positive aspects of mood, such as vigour, excitement and happiness. Think about times when a good band gets you up dancing and the wonderful benefits then of movement and expression and fun and excitement and harmony with the person that you might be dancing with. Music can also reduce depression, tension, fatigue, anger and confusion. So music has beneficial therapeutic effects on human emotions and moods. It can also be a medium of communication, and perhaps in that example of dancing, there is understanding between your partner and yourself of coordination and cohesion and just initiating. So music can offer an escape from the complicated workings of our minds when we are overwhelmed and overstressed. Playing and or singing music raises our spirits. It's claimed that music can lift serotonin levels, countering the effect of stress. So while exercise can burn off our adrenaline, music offers relaxation. Music involves almost every part of the brain. It evokes emotional responses from everyone, irrespective of one's physical or mental health. So, Declan, you're, a great fan of music. It's an interest of yours. You access all your music on Spotify.
Yeah, a wide variety too. I like going some of the songs from the 60s right through to today. But there's certain things, like if I'm going to do the dishes, I have to have Spotify and my headphones on. Same with vacuuming, anything like that that I perhaps don't want to do, even if washing and that sort of thing, I always got my music on with me. So people go, oh, I can't get hold of you, I ring you and it goes to messaging. I go, yeah, because I'm listening to my music, not to you.
Andy, do you select particular music for particular things that you're doing?
Yeah, I find, you know, there's a mixture, some songs happy, some songs sad, some instrumentals that are where I might have a song that has lyrics, but the same song will also be out with just the instrumental, like Richard Clayderman might have done it. So with my playlist, it depends on what sort of mood, where what I'm doing, where I am, as to whether I have something that's more upbeat or whether I have something that's quiet. And that also, you know, sometimes if you're feeling sad, I want sad music because that helps me to identify with that emotion and that, and it, that brings that out. And it might be a sad song, but it's, you know what I mean? It's I don't find, sometimes I don't want those happy uplifting songs. I want those songs that will give me that opportunity of reflection.
Right.
That sort of thing.
You're not worried that if you're sad and you listen to sad music that you're likely to get into a downward spiral?
No. I pick carefully what I listen to. Some music can be very dark and very whiny, for want of a better word, and that sort of music, if that comes on, sometimes I just think, oh god, it's like the cat sharpening its claws on a brick wall, you know. So there are songs like that that I like, but I won't always necessarily listen to them because they're very dark and very deep.
In your darker times some years back, was music one of the therapies that you adopted?
I think I've always liked music, but back in those days, I think when I've been in that dark space, that's what I really haven't gone for, because if I've got into a real dark hole and I've not had that motivation to want to actually listen to music, it's like a disconnect from everything.
Mm.
And so that music, for me to get the motivation and that to actually go and listen to it, I'm likely to just want to like flick the player on the floor or chuck the headphones type thing. So I've got to be in that frame of mind for it. Sometimes I'm better off just to sit and listen to nature and just have that zone out time.
Well, let's take another track, I'm unsure actually whether Declan has selected all of his tracks with an example where music is medicine, but let's just wait and see.
Well, I've come across this one that I only struck in the last few days, and it was on a mental health list apparently that I pulled up, and it's by a group called Lost Frequencies, and it's called Don't Leave Me Now, and I just like the tone to it. I sort of think it like a thick shake or a smoothie or something. Anyway, see what you think. It's only about my fourth time listening to it. So here is a song called Don't Leave Me Now. It's by Lost Frequencies.
Ships go by and wave at me. I try, can't breathe. There's an ocean in between your heart and me. I know I hurt you and I don't deserve you, but don't leave me, leave me. Took you for granted, but don't leave me stranded here. I need you, need you. It's a long way down. If I fall without you, I know I hurt you and I don't deserve you, but don't leave me, don't leave me now.
I just think it's nice and upbeat when you're out doing things like ironing or whatever, and yeah, it's a different beats, different moods.
Yeah. Well, I'll talk a little bit later about the significance of beats in terms of therapy, but today on Mental Health Radio, Take It From Us, we're talking about the medicine of music, and of course there's a whole field which is expanding dramatically, the field of music therapy, where music is used consciously as an intervention for people's well-being by harmonising body, mind and spirit, and It takes people into a different space, and I had that experience while in hospital recently, where a music therapist visited the hospital, and she was so wonderful in her whole approach and empathy and talent, and singing with her was certainly very, very uplifting. Of course, when lockdown occurred, we had to do that via Zoom, via the screen, which took a little bit of the impact and the therapeutic benefits away. But I think music therapy is a wonderful approach and a natural approach to addressing depression and anxiety particularly. And a little paper here I have says research has demonstrated the benefits of music therapy for people with depression and anxiety. While music therapy is often used to promote mental and emotional health, it may also improve the quality of life for people with physical health problems, and it can address pain. The question is here, what is music therapy? And this article says a music therapy session may incorporate different elements, such as making music, writing songs, or listening to music, or singing, as was my experience. Music therapists are trained in more than just music. Their education often covers a wide range of clinical skills, including communication, cognitive work, psychological disorders, as well as chronic illness and pain management. So music therapy is a very, I think, important natural benefit to address particularly depression and anxiety. It's increasingly recognised in the treatment of mental and neurological illness. It can enhance sleep, enhance our work and concentration and communication. It helps clear thinking and makes people calmer and happier. It's been claimed by famous classical musicians that music was a lifesaver for them. So music can be a medicine for both the body and soul, and it is practically a guaranteed way in raising people's spirits. Perhaps the therapy of music, when mixed with exercise and counselling on a regular basis, could offer relief for depression and anxiety. That's, it's clearly music therapy is a addressing depression and anxiety, but if it was incorporated with exercise and counselling, then it could be very much more effective. Music offers therapy through reprieve from thoughts and emotions, either by listening or playing. It can also change hormone levels that impact our emotions and mood. Well, let's play another track. Declan, what have you got now?
I've got to start this one a bit early because it's got 30 seconds of intro, but whenever I hear this song, it takes me right back. I could even go to the street in Fremantle in Perth, July of 1988, in a rental car. This came over the radio. So every time I hear it, it takes me back. It takes me back to, I'm actually sitting in that car in Fremantle on that road.
And that was a pleasant experience?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's this is where music can remind us of pleasant things that have happened in our lives.
Yeah, it's Gary Wright and it's Dreamweaver.
Climbed aboard the Dreamweaver train. Trying to take away my worries of today. And leave tomorrow. Dreamweaver, I believe you can get me
So what'd you think of that one?
Yeah, lovely ending there.
I'm just going to let it peel out underneath us. I just find it just takes me to a little happy place.
Does it remind you of any particular happy experience?
Only when I was in Australia. I took my dad on his first and only ever trip. He said, I'm not going over there again. I said, why not? He said, I don't like flying. I said, oh, well, the birds don't have any complaints.
Well, that was Dreamweaver on Mental Health Radio. Take it from us. I'm host Sheldon Brown with technician Declan Caron, and we're talking today about the medicine of music and the ways to use music for mental health are outlined in another article. Music, of course, is more than just a form of entertainment, and there are lots of links between music and mental health, and that's certainly true in New Zealand, where we have many people with lived experience who are recognised musicians. And my idea for this show initially was just to celebrate some of the work that those people with lived experience have done with their music, like Sam Arbee, Johnny Madison, and others. So, but exactly how can we use music in our day-to-day life? And you can check out some of the ways on the web, but the first is it helps us focus. Classical music is a winner at helping us focus. Music that has a tempo of 60 beats per minute increases the efficiency of the brain in processing information. So the best way to use it is to have it playing softly in the background as you get on with your tasks. And you were mentioning, Declan, that you always have music when you're doing the dishes or doing the ironing or cleaning.
Yeah, it just takes away the boredom of it. And if I've got my music on while I'm doing the dishes, I'm sort of doing two things at once, or watching that the washing machine doesn't have an epileptic when it starts spinning. So I just take a book, turn my music down, and off I go.
Right. Another way that music can enhance our lives and enhance our health is by expression. So the next time you're finding it hard to talk about or express your emotions, try turning to music for help. Creating your own music, perhaps, or whether simply strumming a guitar or composing lyrics to a song can help you express and process your emotions. It's more about how it makes you feel than how it sounds. And, music, I find, can be a wonderful way of improving my mood, of getting me up and excited. It also, when I play some of the music, like the Rolling Stones, that I have loved over the years, it reminds me of times when I was surfing, playing sport as well. Now, another way that music can help us is through social connection. The music can stop you from feeling lonely or isolated, whether it's sharing playlists with your friends or meeting new like-minded people at your favourite band's new gig or just at a disco. Music connects people. It can also enhance creativity. Did you know that listening to or making music allows your brain to think creatively? So whether it's a creative project you need to complete or some new ways to improve your mood, try some different types of music and see what works best for you. And I guess I'm always surprised when I go out for a walk and I see people, they've got their headphones on, they're obviously listening to their favourite music, and I think, well, I wonder whether that distracts them from appreciating the beauty of nature and the beauty of the trees and the flowers and the views that one can enjoy while walking. But clearly, music has this wonderful quality of being medicinal, and I would say many people are helping their stress levels, helping their focus, helping their concentration.
Sometimes it relaxes me too much. I'm sitting reading on the deck, and the next minute I'm nodding off like a nana.
Well, it's a coincidence that you mention relaxing, because relaxation is the next point that I wanted to make about a way that can help our health, our physical health and our mental health. I guess knowing that music... that relaxation from music can help us is no great huge scientific breakthrough. But it's worth repeating. Music helps you to relax. If you choose the right kind of music, change into some comfy clothes and put your feet up, it's a safe bet that you'll feel relaxed. And of course, many of the meditation techniques incorporate music, wonderful music, listening to the sea, listening to waterfalls, listening to water generally, listening to the birds, and reminding us too of some of the beautiful scenes that might come to us that we might be encouraged to think of, our favourite places, our places where we are most relaxed, our happy place, I guess you'd call it. So another way of music helping in our health is to motivate us. You need to, it says here, vacuum the house, something that Declan has talked about, or study or get some exercise, but you can't get off the couch. Well, you can use your favourite music as a motivational force. Crank up the volume on a killer tune and chances are you'll find it that much easier to get started. Well, what next killer tune have you got for us today on Take It From Us, Declan?
Well, I just wanted to say that music I find too very good when I've been doing some of the intensive research I've done over the years. As you know, it's been good to just be, I don't know, it gives me more of a focus. I can focus on things and it just sometimes takes away that silence in the background. But on another aspect, without it sounding too depressing, certain songs will take me back to events that we should never forget, but we don't want to remember on a regular basis. And one of them was Carly Simon's Nobody Does It Better, which Air New Zealand used on their billboards at the time Erebus occurred back in November 79. So every time I hear that now, that takes me back to that incident and where I was, and I can remember that whole day vividly. But this one here is going to be a dedication. It's a dedication to my friend who loved Neil Diamond, and I'll also dedicate it for James because he likes Neil Diamond as well. And this was played at my friend's service when she passed unexpectedly last July. And it's from Neil Diamond, and it's called Crackling Rosie, and you're with Take It From Us Mental Health Radio, broadcasting on Tuesdays, 12:30 to 1:30 on 104.6 FM.
Don't you know I'll have my time with a poor man's lady hitching on a twilight train. Ain't nothing here that I care to take along. Maybe a song to sing when I want. Don't need to say please to no man for a happy tune. Oh, I love my rosy child. You got the way to make me happy. You and me, we go in style. Crackling Rose, you're a store-bought woman, but you make me sing like a guitar humming. So hang on to me, girl, our song keeps running. Play it now, play it now, play it now. Last for an hour, well, that's alright, cause we got all night to set the world right. Find us a dream that don't ask no questions, yeah. Oh, I love my rosy child. You got the way to make me happy. You and me, we go in style. Crack
Jacqueline Rose, your store-bought woman. But you make me sing like a guitar humming. So hang on to me, girl, our song keeps running on. Play it now, play it now, my baby. Jacqueline Rose, make me a smile. Girl, is it last friend? Oh, well, that's all right, 'cause we got all night. Set the world right. The sweet dream that don't ask no question.
Just wanted to drop in there at the end of this that it's interesting how, you know, you get these songs from these boy bands and they sort of come and go, but when you get songs like Neil Diamond and Elton John and, you know, Elvis Presley, all that sort of stuff, Eric Clapton, they just stand the test of time, and they, you never grow old, you never grow tired of hearing them.
As you get old.
Yeah, that's the one.
So if you want to elevate your mood and motivation, boost your relaxation, increase the efficiency of your brain processing, and generally enjoy better physical and mental well-being, then music is clearly a very important option. What type of music might reduce stress the best? Well, it's a bit surprising, the articles say that Native American, Celtic, Indian stringed instruments, drums and flutes are very effective at relaxing the mind, even when played moderately loud. Sounds of rain, thunder and nature may also be relaxing, particularly when mixed with other music, such as light jazz, one of my favourites, classical and easy listening music.
I've got some, if you want, a bit later in the show, before we finish, I've got a bit of native North American in a soundtrack, and that's really quite impressive.
Oh, it'll be nice to look that out, Declan. How do you choose the relaxation music that's best for you? Well, the answer partly rests with you. You must first like the music being played, and then it is likely to relax you. Well, we're going to play a track which is very meaningful to me. It's from a New Zealand group called The Found, and it used to be the theme music for Take It From Us. If I go back into the archive or listen to any of the older CDs, the shows always start with this piece of music from The Found.
Going back about 6 years before we changed over, wasn't it?
I think it was.
Yeah. Anyway, here we go. Things you said really hurt me, babe. And that's not the end, by the way, just in case you're wondering.
Well, it was our theme, obviously, several years ago, used for quite some time, and the band, The Found, came in and talked about their music. They weren't that keen to talk about their mental health, I recall, but all they wanted to do was to promote that particular track. But it does go back into the history of Take It From Us. Now, sleep, of course, is can be a challenge, particularly if we are depressed and anxious. And I've already mentioned the importance of music being played at around 60 beats per minute, which can cause the brain to synchronize with the beat, causing alpha brainwaves. This alpha brainwave is what is present when we are relaxed and conscious. So to induce sleep, a person may need to devote at least 45 minutes in a relaxed position, listening to calming music for it to be effective in terms of promoting sleep. Researchers at Stanford University have said that listening to music seems to be able to change brain functioning to the same extent as medication. And I think if I had a preference, I'd prefer to listen to music rather than have to take medication and experience the side effects of that. These researchers noted that music is something that almost anybody can access and makes it, therefore, an easy stress reduction tool. Now, Declan, sounds as though you're playing something in the background there, something with flutes.
Yeah, it's just off a Native American Indian meditation that I put together. But we're going to have to bow out of that now because we are ready to go.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to Take It From Us. We'll be back next week, Tuesday, every Tuesday between 12:30 and 1:30 on Planet FM.
Have a good one. Catch some sun and don't blow away. See you next week.